This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, you heard of the draft party there. That's coming up about 2.5 weeks at the Landing in Liberty. Thursday, April 24th, our fan draft party. Be hanging out there starting at 6 o'clock, round one of the draft. Bink and Chris Unocero are going to be broadcasting live during the draft, I should say. And everybody from the station is going to be there at the Landing in Liberty, plus your chance to win $965 and a Juwan Taylor autograph helmet. Same draft contest as a year ago. You pick the right player in the right slot, that's worth some points. If you get the team and the player correct, that's very difficult to do after the first couple picks. That gets you even more points. So hope to see you guys up there Thursday, April 24th. Thinking of the draft, friends over at Arrowhead Pride, we're talking about the new Sports Illustrated mock draft and just more about the running backs. And like, I don't expect you to maybe have your name of the back that you for sure want the Chiefs to draft yet, but is everybody out on a first round running back? I am. Sports Illustrated has the Chiefs drafting one at pick 31. We all know the Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick, the hype around it. I don't think it was a disaster, but it obviously was not warranted. He did not perform at a level warranted with the 31st pick, right?
Sure.
But
if they could go back in time, they would not make that selection.
Travion Henderson mocked to the Chiefs at 31.
Okay, so
out of Ohio State, another reason why I don't know if it'll happen because they don't draft Ohio State players.
Like the back interested in Travion Henderson, first round, I was trying to decide how this would make me feel. Because fundamentally, the way that they took the running back the last time, like I kind of get the plan. Like, I get Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and an elite-level running back with Patrick Mahomes. Offensive line be damned. We're getting ready to score some points. And to the maybe 2 weeks ago conversation we had, that the offense you could most closely emulate was the Detroit Lions. Well, the Detroit Lions have a game-breaking back in Jahmyr Gibbs. You once again bring that into the fold. I do fundamentally get how it would work. But also, you are just as likely to get a star running back at pick 90 in the NFL as you are at 31. So why the hell would you take one at 31 under any circumstances? I'd hate it. I'd pretty clearly hate it. I don't want to be overly dramatic because I don't think I would just like panic, freak out. I would try to think about the positives that could come out of the offense. But if they really took another running back at 31 for the second time in 5 years, why? There are other positions to get. They better be Derrick Henry. They better be one of the five best running backs in the league if you take one at 31.
Yeah. The reason I think that they would have this is, I don't know who you'd get at 95 anymore because Amarian Hampton has apparently gotten so hyped up. He might be top 15 as well as Ashton Jeanty. And then Quinshon Judkins could potentially be in the second round. So you, unless they draft one in the second round,
well, that's fine.
You're potentially losing out on Jeanty, Marion Hampton, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. Maybe you get Scadaboo, but I don't know how he fits. exactly yeah. with I'm the not system. I wonder where Devin Neal ends up going. Do you get DJ Giddens? I mean, that might be your range could end up being Ollie Gordon, fine. DJ Giddens, or Devin Neal.
Yeah, I'm fine with the second or third round running back. I also don't know. Like, this is the first, by the way, the first mock draft that has the Chiefs. There's Arod Pride has been keeping track. 88 of these. First mock draft that has the Chiefs taken a running back at pick 31. I'm not saying they're wrong, but like, this is definitely the outlier of all outliers of the mock drafts.
I'm just trying to decide how you'd feel.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel great. Do I think Travion Henderson's a decent player? Yeah, does it mean that I think he stinks? No.
I think he'd be really good, actually, with the Chiefs.
And he might.
Really good.
I just always wonder, with Andy Reid, will they utilize the running back also enough to make the pick valuable at 31? And I get it. To me, you should not draft someone because of a whiff earlier.
Yeah.
In your history, sure. Which is kind of part of the thought process that I'm trying to get over with Clyde.
Just forget about the Clyde thing and just think about it from an offensive perspective.
Correct. You know,
the logic applies the same as it did the last time.
True. Yep. But I know I don't think fan base is going to view it in that light. Now, the consensus position across mock drafts is tackle. 39% of all mock drafts to the Chiefs haven't taken a tackle. 22% defensive tackle, 11% edge rusher, 10% guard, 8% secondary, 4% wide receiver, 3% tight end, and this is the 1% of all that hasn't taken a running back.
I know it's a minority, and it's a minority for a reason, but I think we should probably remember that Brett Veach was willing to do it once. Like, the fact that he didn't think picking a running back in the first round was too crazy, I think that there's part of them that is still chasing. I still think they're chasing the high that was the full season and then the first beginning part of a season of Kareem Hunt in the offense with weapons. And they have the weapons. And they technically have a starting five offensive line. It's not as good as the one then, but they have weapons and they have a decent offensive line, at least on paper at the moment. And they're trying to chase that feeling of remember what it was like. And even though they didn't use Kareem Hunt in some, like, but did he lead the league in carries that year? I mean, when they had the right back, they did take some heat off of it. And here's the only argument I would make for it. If I were going to try to justify this 2.5 weeks from now, and the Chiefs, with the 31st overall pick, select Travion Henderson or whoever, I don't know, Quinton Judkins, whoever, with their first round pick, the one argument I would make for it is, I still think they put too much on Patrick Mahomes to supply all of the offense. And at least, for the longevity of his career, for the stability of the offense, for the ease of the offensive line and pass pro, taking heat off of him isn't the worst idea I've ever heard.
Of course not. Now, we're going to talk about this during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. You know, if you look at the strengths in the draft, running back is one of the two or three positions everybody says is strong. That's another reason why I don't like it in this year's draft, though. Is, and I understand, Drew, you're saying that some guys are moving up the board, but everybody still says
the same thing. I think that's the only reason it makes some sort of sense.
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me. Why are they moving up the board if there's just like endless amounts of them?
I think it's because
a few select are.
In terms of the, hey, we have another back, we could get a Jahmyr Gibbs, we could get a guy that can just effectively break things open. That's kind of what Amarian Hampton is.
If it is deep, though,
why would you take
second
in the first round?
Second or third round.
And makes sense.
Even if that means that Giddens goes late second round, okay, I think I like that pick more than a first round pick at 31. I don't want to call it necessarily a reach. I don't even know if it's a reach as much as that. Is that where the Chiefs should go in the first round? A lot of this is what we don't know, which is Brett Veach in love with Travion Henderson from a prospect perspective? And if he's there at 31, then it's a different conversation. Is there somebody else? We just don't know that. And we'll never get the real answer on that. And that's the part we don't know. The Ohio State thing, not that I'm saying they will never, but part of it is they're going to take a running back at 31 and they're going to take it from a school.
So they're going to break
from a school they've never drafted from before. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. That's all.
I still don't understand. Like, is that just like the weirdest coincidence of all
probably
time?
A little bit of both.
Like the Ohio State thing, because they put a lot of NFL players.
Bink has a theory
in the league.
Well, Brett Veach joked a couple years ago about that.
Big Ten schools.
It has to do with Big Ten schools and their pro days. And he's like, basically, the times are a little off in the Big Ten. Mm. A little off in the Big Ten. They don't buy some of the numbers coming out of the Big Ten.
Like for the run, for the 40s or anything
in
else.
In fairness, isn't that why you go to the pro days yourselves and time the stuff yourself?
For sure.
I mean, in fairness.
For sure. No, that's a fair point.
But it could just be that, yeah. I mean,
and a lot of the stuff, the NFL, the people, like the scouts do all the stuff. It's not like Ohio State. You might know, hey, the guy is listed in the program at 6 foot, 290 pounds, but he might be 5'11" and I don't know, 265, whatever the case. I know those numbers sound really weird, but anyways, like they always gas the numbers, but they're NFL evaluators at the pro day, correct? Yeah. And at the combine, it's not like you're trusting Ohio State's guys to give you the right measurements.
I'll also say that like they're one of the best 5 to 7 teams in the draft over the last. That's bare minimum. I would probably argue better, but let's just call it one of the 5 to 7 best teams in the NFL draft over the last 5 years. So them not drafting Ohio State players is not the thing holding them back. So
very true.
Like, I don't care if that's a rule, a hard and fast rule they have in place, because at this moment, it's not exactly stopping it from the draft. Meanwhile, on the baseball end, now that we're a full week and a half into the Major League Baseball season, if you were curious if the torpedo bats were here to stay, Rob Manfred spoke over the weekend about it and said, quote, that they are absolutely good for Major League Baseball. So if you're thinking, hey, are these going to stick around? Are they going to do a rule thing? The answer is no. I guess the question I have for it, is it actually good for baseball? And simply put, I think yes. Anything in which people talk about your sport that also hypothetically, and we don't even know for a fact because we need more long-term evidence for these bats being used by more Major League players over a longer time. If it brings more offense into the game and people are talking about it, good. It is actually good for the sport. I got some questions about whether or not, you know, they have the amount of impact that we seem to think they might have 10 days into the season, but it is good for baseball. I actually think Rob Manfred's right.
Well, the whole thing's
and I
over.
Don't like agreeing with Rob Manfred.
I know he's not. You don't like him. It's overblown though. This entire thing is overblown. I don't have to tell you, you were in spring training covering this team for many years as well. Different bat styles is not some new concept.
Oh yeah, remember the axe one?
Well, that was just the handle. That's more of that was more of like a cosmetic thing than even like a true like what we're talking about here. But there are multiple styles, like hundreds, maybe thousands of different bat styles. Players. I'm not even just talking about like color. I'm talking about like actually like different style of bat that's supposed to give you a little bit of an advantage on one area over the other. And this player's
based on
comfortable.
The way you swing.
So this is like the torpedo bat is a different style of bat that is ultimately all it is. And if you're a player that is the ball, you know, you're hitting it consistently in that one spot, well then maybe the torpedo bat is good for you. If you're someone that is, you know, hitting it towards the end of the bat, well, the torpedo bat's actually gonna be worse for you.
Yes,
because there's less wood on that part of it, right? Like the way they're adjusting these. I think it's all very overblown. It's a fun concept. It's not cheating. Again, it's a different bat style. It's not cheating. It's no different than when somebody switched from maple to or from ash to maple or whatever at the time or whatever it was. I think it was Bonds that did that. Like the
good old maple to ash.
People switch. When he started hitting, people started trying it out.
It's probably the steroids.
And more and more players are of course going to try out the torpedo bat, I think, but it's such an overblown thing over the last week and a half or so. This has been around. Like, you could have had a torpedo bat 15 years ago. It's not like there's Easton, sure, but, or what's the other, you know, Vixis or whatever, what all these different bat manufacturers, they could have done this 20 years ago. Players just, it wasn't accepted. It wasn't, the data didn't back it up yet. We didn't have the data to see it, but it's not cheating. That's crazy.
No, again, like you said, I think a number of those, and again, if it's not cheating, well then, yeah, it's good for the, you know, it's fine for the sport. I also think if it actually did, let's just say,
well, the teams are probably ordering them. Like, it would not surprise me. We'll have JJ on, as you said, tomorrow. Like, I know like the Nationals general manager was on radio there and he said that the team has ordered some torpedo bats. It would not surprise me at all if the Royals were doing the same thing. It's very overblown. That's all.
I think, let's just say it does add offense. They find out that because enough of these guys were getting jammed across the board, that this does add more offense to the sport. Is that a bad thing? That's what they've been trying to do for 5 years. Offense is way down in baseball. The three true outcome thing became bad for the sport because people weren't putting the ball in play. And it wasn't all because the hitters were just trying to knock it out of the park. It's because every single person throws 97 miles an hour with 47 inches of break that they slowly crafted in a lab over the last 6 months. And so if they're going to take the science part of baseball into grips and pitch shapes, and I'm not kidding, and JJ will tell us this, you can create a new pitch in 48 hours in baseball, a holiday weekend. You can go to the lab and create a new pitch grip and start throwing something different 72 hours from when you just did it. And so if this gives a hitter an advantage, I told you, I actually think it's going the way of Hosmer. I think it's going to go the way of like It's club for the spot. This guy loves to pitch inside. You're halfway through the game. You've been using your regular bat. But you know this guy does nothing but pitch inside. And the contact you've made with him over the last 3 years is lower on the handle. Pick up the torpedo bat and take advantage of the sweet spot differences that go there. If it helps offense, I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know how much of an adjustment it can happen in season, though, because a lot of them need to go to the bat manufacturer and they hook up all these things, right? Like, and they get data and they can tell, and they'll have you swing a 500 times or whatever, and they can tell, all right, percentage of the 500 swings, this is where you make contact with the baseball. Maybe the torpedo bat is not right for you, as I was saying. Like, so I think ultimately you can order them in season all you want, but you probably need to actually have the data, the trackers, if you will, set up on the swing analyzation to figure out, like, does it actually, like, just pick a Royals player, right? For Michael Massey, it might be beneficial. For Vinny, it may not be. Like, pick a player, right? So it's not going to be for everybody, but I agree with this text. You know, if it was the Royals or White Sox that were hitting a bunch of home runs the opening weekend, the torpedo bats would not nearly be as big of a story as it was, because the Yankees did it against the Brewers. And that I absolutely think is true. So the New York Yankees were the team that had the most players at the time.
Like, they buried them.
I looked it up over the weekend, and I do think every baseball team is now going to order these bats, just because why not, and try it out, at least behind the scenes. Only like 11, 12 teams were using them so far. That'll, by the end of the year, 32 teams. Maybe 32 expansion, you know?
They're going to expand, and those teams are also going to use them.
32 NFL, 30 MLB.
I say those wrong all the time. Yeah. Just because the numbers are just close enough that it just, like, slips the brain sometimes. Yeah. Like, how many teams in each league? And don't even get me started on guessing, you know, like, saying number of teams for every league. But yeah, I just think, like the text line said, I will say this about anything to get more balls in play, the better for the sport. I hate watching a pitcher's duel. It's essentially just watching two guys play catch for 2.5. It's not that I hate...
Like offense.
It's not that I hate a great pitching performance. It's that you want all of it. You want all of it in the sport. You want games in which people score. You want games in which the ball's in play and there's action and, you know, everything else in between. They've done the math. Like, football doesn't have, like, more minutes of things happening than baseball does. Baseball's just got more dead time, and we all know it, and so it just feels kind of weird.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day takes us to a Walmart store.
Okay.
A couple of them, actually. It's happened in North Georgia. You'll quickly realize why I picked this story, because there's not much that's different than a normal shoplifting spree, but for obvious reasons, very quickly here, you'll realize why a television station, I think Fox 5 in Atlanta, gives us the latest.
A man accused of stealing over $20,000 worth of merchandise from several Walmart stores across North Georgia.
40-year-old Speedy Gonzalez is now facing several felony shoplifting charges in several counties. Yes, that is his real name. News Edge reporter Eric Mock explains how he pulled off so many thefts before getting caught.
Right, fast.
Well, at Walmart's like this one on Shawford Road, police say Speedy Gonzalez would pick up a larger item like a trash can, then he stuffs it full of smaller expensive items.
Cody,
then
you did this at checkout, once.
He just covers it and just pays for the trash can. With a name like Speedy Gonzalez, you're sure to be remembered if you have a pass with police.
He does have a criminal history here in Gainesville. Again, he's someone that we've dealt with numerous times.
First Lieutenant Kevin Holbrook says officers remembered this suspect when staff at this Walmart on Shallerford Road in Gainesville called them about him in March. He was seen on surveillance video making off with multiple items. With a little scheme, Holbrook explains, likely prevented him from getting caught sooner.
Nicotine gum, diabetic strips, high priced items, although smaller in nature. He would then pick out an item from the shelf, such as a trash can. In one instance, it was a mailbox. Then take all those items, stick it into the box with the larger item, and then take that, pay for it, and walk out of the store.
Gonzalez returned to this Walmart 10 days later, where Gainesville officers arrested him. Holbrook says they found other stolen items in his car. Investigators say they realized he'd been doing the same thing at other Walmarts.
Barrow County, Gwinnett, other Hall County, Habersham, White, Lumpkin. It was determined that Speedy Gonzalez was responsible for over 20 thefts around the North Georgia area.
That's okay. That's the only reason why we did that story.
Did he change his name to Speedy Gonzalez?
His actual name.
Was he named that at birth?
That's
you can't name your kid Speedy Gonzalez.
Uh huh. Yep.
There's no way that's his real name.
Oh, no, it is.
They said but it's his real name.
I don't know if it's on his ID.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Yes.
They made it very clear. It is his real name.
That is his real name. And he was finally arrested in this $20,000 Walmart shoplifting spree. And yeah, Cody, he did something that you've said you've done before.
I did. So in fairness, when I did it, I didn't forget about the items in the trash can. I forgot about the trash can itself.
So you did the reverse.
I did the reverse. Smarter, actually.
You paid
in a
for
lot
the
of
more
ways.
Expensive items.
They always expect you to like try to sneak stuff on the inside. They don't actually expect you to take the trash can itself. I still use that trash can, by the way. Holding strong. It's the basement trash can.
So that's like somebody named Nathan Stormwatcher becoming a meteorologist.
Yep.
Speedy Gonzalez, the criminal thief. I mean, that's tough. Yeah. Also, like, of course he got into a life of crime. Could you imagine having a normal childhood and the entire time your name was Speedy Gonzalez? No chance.
Or the guy's an athlete.
Your only other choice is to be like a Division I wide receiver.
I don't know. All I know is the story right next to this one. Drew, you'll enjoy this. It says, Atlanta dancer sues Magic City over termination.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Falsely terminated, she says.
That's
huh?
what she says. That's what she says.
She wanted to keep on getting some bread.
Magic City.
Trying to get that separation pay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, I hope she gets it, you know, if she was wrongfully fired. Yeah. She was wrongfully fired.
That's right.
I don't know the conditions
That's
of
right.
her fire, but, you know, I hope she gets whatever, whatever she deserves.
Shout out to Mercedes.
Evidently, she enjoyed her job.
I mean, I just...
What do you mean? How do you know she enjoyed her job?
Well, she's suing for wrongful termination. She wants to go back.
That doesn't mean she liked the job. She liked the money, maybe, that she was getting from said job.
Yeah, that's...
Or the wings. She liked the wings that were at Magic City. One of the two.
If you work there, you got to get the wings, right?
How long do you...
free?
A lot of places you work, you know, maybe you get an employee discount.
That seems a little messy. You're touching clients and you got honey barbecue on your fingertips.
Yeah, it's not a good...
Touching clients.
What do you think's going on there?
Well,
clients.
I feel like your hands be greasy near the pole. That feels like problem.
Oh, so you're going to get some...
That feels dangerous.
Post-shift eating, yes. Yeah. There's no
way
you
can like
do it.
Some of that glitter on the wings. It's not edible glitter. Then you're going to have some problems there.
I don't think that's...
I'll be honest. There's something about eating food in that environment just feels gross.
Yeah.
There's just...
yes, I agree.
But people say the Magic City wings.
Apparently, they're very good.
Mm-hmm. If you went there, you'd
so
know
much
you'd
so
order the
Lou
wings.
Williams would.
I would.
You have to. You have to know.
I just think taking a bite of food while at a strip club just would feel. I don't know.
You definitely don't want to be approached like I need a second to eat.
Maybe that's the excuse to. Yeah, Cody would use that. Like I'm busy eating. Leave me alone.
I have to be rude.
Is there
about
a separate
it.
Dining area?
I
don't think you can be
I've
eating.
Never, I don't know.
I don't
know.
Think you could be getting a lap dance and eating some boneless wings or bone-in wings.
I don't
wings.
Think so.
I don't think they'd want to. Nobody would want to dance on you while you're also eating wings in the first place. I think that doesn't make sense.
We'll send Drew on assignment to get the lowdown on exactly what takes place there.
I've never been.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, the strongest position group, why I don't think they should draft a running back, and I'm sure we'll have another mock draft sounder, right?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Love the text during the break we got from somebody. Said it. Just to let you know now, I'm fantasizing about wings and things. All right, have a good afternoon because of our last conversation. You're welcome. I had some wings on Saturday during the Final Four. Some wings was a good...
Did you?
Yeah, I felt like it, you know?
Feels like a natural wing day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you go use your free wings?
I did not. I need to get
that
pass still.
Is that still up to date?
I need to get
oh,
that
no,
pass
Oh, no, I thought
still.
The other... I was thinking the
oh,
other.
Oh, that's long gone.
Jefferson's, yeah, you do have free wings there.
Yeah, I do have that from our guillotine league. That's the reason why I have it, but yes. No, I did not end up utilizing that.
I tried to convince people to go get Jefferson's wings last night there after the dance comp because everyone was going to like go to dinner, and I was like, why don't we just go there? I've got a little, got a couple gift cards there. Why don't we go there?
Yeah.
And I think it was just too out of the way for some people. Plus, it's kids. Maybe they don't all want wings.
And then get chicken nuggets, basically.
I know. We got Mexican food instead.
No, I can't go wrong with that.
No,
I honestly
I'm not,
could
like,
eat
upset
that.
About it.
I could eat Tex-Mex or Mexican food 7 nights out of the week, honestly. It's probably the food I eat the most of anyway. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, because it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We started the hour discussing that one mock draft now that has a running back being taken. It kind of leads into this conversation because NFL.com was going through different positional groups across the draft, strongest to weakest. They say edge defenders, strongest part of the entire draft. Second strongest position, running back.
Okay.
Third strongest, interior D-line.
Need that.
Fourth tight end. Fifth offensive tackle, and then it went down from there.
Well, offensive tackle's not great.
The interior offensive line was graded as the worst position group in this year's draft. And this is just according to one publication, but it is NFL Network's Lance Zierlein, our friend that provides this great
draft. It probably also speaks to the numbers that were out there for guards and the trade value out there for guards this year, so that tracks.
Exactly. But the fact that running back is listed second is why when we had our discussion about Travion Henderson at 31, why don't I like it? A lot of people agree that running back is the second most deep position in the draft. Why am I spending a first-round pick? Unless I can get, you know, top 15, Ashton Jeanty, something like that. I get it. Jeanty's going to go right away, and I don't care what the number is. I'll take the over. Like, he's going to be a 1,200-yard back his rookie season if he stays healthy. I have no doubt in my mind. He's that kind of player.
No matter what team he ends up
but
with,
he's
you don't even care circumstance.
I really don't. Whether it's the Giants, the Raiders, the Cowboys, it doesn't really matter. I think he's a 1,200-yard back his rookie year. He's that special. But at 31, when you're talking about Travion Henderson, who could be a very good back in this league as well, I'll wait to the second round. And I'm not even saying you're going to get someone as good as him. But is the drop-off enough, if it's a deep enough, where I can get one in the third round? A Giddens, a Neal, you know, I guess Scadaboo. I'm not a huge fan of him for the Chiefs.
It's one of the names that's in that round, yeah. And the two local guys. Look, the best possible news about of all of this is that Ed Defender is number one. I think I would personally make the argument if we were doing, and I'm sure we will, maybe 2 weeks out from the draft, a week out from the draft, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty more draft content coming your way 2.5 weeks out. And don't forget about our draft party at the Landing in Liberty coming up 2 weeks from Thursday. We'll be out there, the entire crew, Bink and Chris Unocero will be broadcasting live. I would personally make the argument that the number one need on the board for the Chiefs is edge. Like, that is the number one, both, and I'm not even just kidding, both short-term and long-term need. It's both. It is the single biggest need this team has at both positions, is defensive line and specifically at edge. You're not guaranteed to have a contract locked up with George Karlaftis. Once again, you're on one-year deals for, you're on the last year of Dana, maybe it's two. You're nearing the end of Dana's contract. You're nearing the end. You're getting closer to the rookie deal on Felix Anudike Uzama. Oh, you got a couple years left. We'll see. Then Aminihue's on a one-year deal. Like, you got no security at edge. None. Like, that is the number one need. If you're telling me that's the single deepest position in the draft, I am interested. I would say the only one I'm disappointed in out of all of these is that wide receiver is so low. I would love another wide receiver drafted in this draft. And the more I look at it, I don't think this is wrong. The more I look at it, it might not be worth taking a wide receiver at all. Like, unless you're getting into like the Hail Mary portion of the draft, we're talking fifth, sixth, seventh round, then fine. But like, at that point, I have no expectations for you to matter for the team at all. Doesn't mean they can. Tyreek Hill was pretty notoriously a fifth round pick who played pretty well for Kansas City, and other guys like Cooper Kupp or a million others who have Puka Nacua, who have had success in later rounds, do exist, but like, I can't put any expectations on it, you know?
And they list wide receiver as the sixth best position group, so it's bottom three positional group.
Yeah, it's not good.
And like last year, we were talking about Adunze and Brian Thomas and McConkey and Harrison and Neighbors, and I'm not even talking about what they did in year one, but even just the names heading in the draft, those were big prospect names. You don't really have, I know we've talked about locally Luther Burden, but even him and the McMillan kid out of Arizona, Golden out of Texas, those three do not match up on paper right now. Doesn't mean they can't have great careers, but draft-wise, with Harrison Jr. or Neighbors or Adunze, it's not even close.
And he counted Travis Hunter in his ranking system.
He did.
So for them to be the like third from the bottom, he's actually giving them Travis Hunter, which is kind of a freebie. If you just take him out of there and list him as just a corner, who they have as the last grouping.
Tied for
the last grouping on that end. Woo, both of those classes are weak. And I'll tell you, they could probably use a corner. But like the needs, like everyone has needs across the board at pretty much every position. The Chiefs are no different. They could use a running back, a tight end, an interior offensive lineman, an interior defensive lineman. You know, they need them all. So like, it's not surprising. But their single biggest need do you guys agree? Their single biggest need for me is edge defender. That is like the number one thing I would like.
I mean, just defensive line entirely.
Doesn't mean they'll take him the first round pick, but yeah, defensive line across the board. A guy opposite Chris Jones, a guy on the edge. They need somebody on the damn defensive line.
For long term, the answer is that for sure. That's why I still think that's why we see a ton of offensive tackles, though, also being mocked, is because we know Juwan Taylor's probably done after this year in Kansas City. So do they just put Wanya at right tackle in 2026 and then Jalen Moore is your left tackle in 2026? Okay.
For the long term, that's a bigger need.
Is that what they're going to? And so I think that's why that's in play as well. But I'm kind of with you. Get after the quarterback, even for the short term. Based off of what you have on the line, I think you could use another body that can step in fairly quickly and get you in a rookie year, five sacks or something like that, realistically.
Four or five sacks.
Yeah, sure. I think that's what you would love that. You'd sign up right away. If I told you at pick 31, they got a guy that came in and got him five sacks his rookie year. I think we looked at the numbers a couple of years ago when they drafted Karlaftis, how rare it actually is, picks 24 and later in the draft, to get a guy that the rookie year comes in and gets five sacks. It's a pretty rare thing. We act like it's not a big deal. That's tough. That's tough to find someone that can step in immediately and do that.
It makes a ton of sense for them to at least double dip, if not triple dip, into the defensive line category over the course of all the picks that they have, whether it's, you know, three in the first five picks that they have or three just in the entirety of the draft, like just hammer defensive line. Mm-hmm. Because of the depth, you mean you add potentially at least one or two guys who are valuable contributors for the foreseeable future. You would think that's the direction they ought to go.
And I may be off because I saw somebody refute, like an NFL guy, saying the opposite of this weekend. I actually think it's way easier to find a really good defensive end later in the first round than people make it seem like. I'm not saying like, let's go through some of the guys in the league.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett, we agree, is one of the best. He was taken at the top of the draft. He was not available. TJ Watt is also one of the best. He was found at the end of the first round. Max Crosby was a third. Trey Hendrickson was a third, right?
I think so. Yeah,
so like those guys were found wherever. Micah Parsons was taken way up top, right? When he taken like a top 15.
Yeah, he was top top five, I believe.
Top five, okay.
I might be wrong, but yeah.
So far, like, half were found at the way beginning of the draft, half were found at the end of the first round. So, like, I don't think it's as crazy as you think. Or some were found in the third round. I don't think it's as crazy as you think to find him. I get it. The Khalil Macks, the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world, the guys who step in the league or 8 or 9 sacks right away, they're hard to find. But there are a lot of really good defensive ends at the end of the first round all the way through the third round.
Yeah, I mean, you're going through some of the names. Like Braden Fisk, who was a rookie this past year for the Rams. He was a second-round pick, now 39th overall, so top end of the second round, but he's a second-round pick. He had 8.5 sacks. He was one of the best young him and Verse were the...
The Rams double dipped.
Yeah, and Fisk won. Didn't Fisk win Defensive Rookie of the Year?
He did, yes.
I think that's right.
Him or Verse. It was one of the two.
Maybe it was Verse who won it, and they still had Fisk.
Okay, that's one of the two. Was,
yeah. They do have both of them in LA, yes.
Yeah, and they drafted, obviously, extremely well. They got to be thrilled with what they've got there, and that's why the Rams are going to be the favorites to win the NFC West. Yeah, they've got Stafford back, and they've got rebuilt defensive line that's panned out very well for Sean McVay and company. So, yeah, you can do it. At one point, though, I'd have to go find the chart. I remember when the Chiefs drafted Karloftis, as I said, a couple years ago, we had a chart someone had put together, and it was over the average of, I think it was 5 to 10 years, picks 1 through 10, what was their rookie year output? Picks 10 through 20. And there was still, on average, a considerable drop-off from drafting an edge rusher pick 28 or later versus drafting one 27 or, you know, 20
earlier
than 27.
But I'd say that's just every position across the board.
Probably, but that's
universally
something to keep in mind.
I think the drop-off's less than what we talk about at tackle. Yeah. Like, offensive tackle, the drop-off between you get a 10-year starter at tackle in the first 15 picks versus what you get anything after 15 feels significant.
Someone also on the text line said from 913-586-7965 from the 816 said, hey, could this draft, do we see Karloftis staying long term, or is he something they don't get a deal done with?
I think
with?
You got to be sure. That's that. Well, you need answers in case he doesn't stay long term.
If they're worried about that, well, then you almost have to draft one at 31.
That's what I said. It's both a short term and long term need. I think defensively, they are getting less back than they added to the offense, right? They've improved the defense less than they've improved the offense. Matter of fact, I'd say the defense has gone backwards. Not a ton, but has gone backwards a little bit from final game of the season last year to where they are right now. I think they've gone backwards not a ton, but a little.
Yeah, Nick,
so they can improve it.
I know, thinking of that, it's Mock Draft Sounder. Bink and the crew will have a new mock draft out today, I believe.
With the new Character Concerns podcast?
I believe so. They've had Nick Scorn at A&M going as an edge to them. Like, real quick, Drew, someone said, would you guys, Chiefs fans would rather draft an FAU clone than in the first round than Jahmyr Gibbs because they're running back. I'll be honest, from a positional thing, I get your point, but I would rather them take a flyer on a defensive end at 31 than draft a running back that we think is going to maybe be better. Like, I don't know how we're judging it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, yes. I would rather risk that they get a bust at 31 at edge than just take a
because
running back.
Because you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs. What if it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Right. If it's FAU or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what would you rather have it pick 31? And it's like, I mean, in that case, I guess Clyde.
How badly do you want him to be like the Lions, like that one article that we looked at? How badly do you want him to try to do that?
All right, we got
to
respect the sounder.
Yeah, yeah.
They do not. Do you want me to play it again?
No.
We're going to go to CBS Sports for this one. Ryan Wilson,
okay,
not our guy Chris Trapasso, but Ryan Wilson.
Is he Zach Wilson's brother or something? Do we know any relation?
See if he puts any Ryans or Wilsons high in it.
Russell Wilson's brother?
No idea, but this one is fresh off the press. Did not come out over the weekend. It came out today.
All right.
At 31, the Kansas City Chiefs, he has them taking Darius Alexander. We've had this name before, but in the second round, a guy that's really gone up the charts a little bit, if you will. Defensive lineman, defensive tackle out of Toledo. His description for him is he had great tape at Toledo, balled out at the Senior Bowl against some of the best players in the country. So that's where, again, he made that jump of looked really good against the MAC players, but then against some of the best players in the country, he looked really good as well. All of a sudden, he's turning into a upper second, later first round pick. So this addresses the defensive line need. It's not edge, but it's a guy maybe to pair next to Chris Jones.
I think anyone on the defensive line is
6'4", 310, by the way.
That's a big man.
Big boy.
6'4", 3. I mean, look, I like players in the first round that will be immediate contributors. He'll play. He'll play right away. He'll play on the interior right away. The only question I have is they don't have like a really solid dude in the interior. An interior defensive lineman usually play about 50% of the snaps, so maybe this isn't a huge question. They did bring back some of their interior guys. They lost Turk Wharton, but they brought back Pennell and a few others to try to like stopgap that. So
yeah, is he really going to fall all the way, or not fall? Is he going to really go up to the first round? I was like, he's played 6 years in college. He's going to be 25 before the start of the season.
I don't like that for a first round pick. He's 24. He turns 25 in August. He'll be
so by the time you give him a second contract, he's Chris Jones's age.
There's a lot of mock drafts that
won't be a second contract. Basically, like I mean, it's that a first rounder that I kind of already know I'm probably not giving a second contract to. In a second or third round, you can talk me into it. I don't know if I like this pick in the
first
round.
There's a lot of mock drafts that have him sub 40, sub 45. Yeah.
Maybe trading down. It looks like Luther Burden in this draft went the pick before.
Okay.
To the Buffalo Bills, by the way. I know that's one Chiefs fans seem to be really interested in.
Oh, they finally decided to draft a wide receiver? and not trade back? Interestingly enough, they have James Pierce, edge rusher from Tennessee, right after going to the Eagles. At 32, that's an edge rusher who's got some ridiculous talent.
My guy Derek Harmon's at 38. They had the better defensive lineman available. What are they doing?
Derek Harmon's interesting. I've seen him start to get mocked in the 30s now by a couple of people.
He's falling down into my range? Or is that moving up? I thought he was in the 20s to 30s.
No, he was in the upper teens to 20s, but I've seen him in the 30s as well.
Come on back, Derek.
Yeah, I just
take that for what you will.
I don't want to spend a first round pick on somebody that's going to be 25 before the start of the season. Maybe they call me an idiot for that, but like I don't want to spend my first round pick on someone that by the time his rookie deal is done, he's going to be 29-30 years old.
What's the breakdown of him? What is our guy?
Darius Alexander.
Yeah,
what is Lance Zierlein to say about Darius Alexander? No comp at all.
He doesn't have a comp.
Uncompable. He's his own man.
Yeah, he did not.
310 pounds.
He did not have a comp for him because I was looking. So a couple things. On the weakness side, he says below average bend with his rush allows him to be redirected. Easily displaced. Positives. Comes off the ball with good bend. Enforce into first contact. Capable slide and swim move. Rushes with the game plan to set up his moves and counters.
Here's what somebody else had to say about him. High motor player.
Ah, of course.
Juice and power. Consistently uses his hands well. And is not only disruptive as a pass rusher, but is hard to move against the run.
I mean, 6'4", 310. I mean, yeah, you would.
I mean, I hope he'd be hard to move. You're 6'4", 310 pounds.
So continuing on, if you don't mind, going into the second and third round here. Yes, indeed. Offensive lineman going more guard, Wylett Milam out of West Virginia.
I have not heard his name at all.
I believe I'm pronouncing Milam correctly. If not, sorry, it might be Milam. He's been second, third round consistently, not with the Chiefs, but with other teams.
Okay. So they take a...
He's more of a guard. He basically would be the competition for Kingsley at left guard.
Okay.
Essentially, I think that's the plan.
No, that's fine. I'll take a second round pick who competes for the starting side of guard later. Yeah. That's fine.
Third round, obviously, two picks for the Chiefs. No trades in this one for the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. Jordan Birch, edge rusher out of Oregon in this selection. Another new name, a guy that is not been mentioned.
Guys. Love it.
But yeah, again, going back into the double dipping, if you will, in the three rounds, trying to get a D tackle, edge rusher. I don't know if there's any comps for Jordan because he's a new name as well. With Oregon and
Jordan Birch. Let's see.
Correct.
There is a comp. Deyo Odeyingbo. Odeyingbo?
Yeah.
That's the comp.
He's giving you credit for the pronunciation.
Who does he play for?
I don't know. All it says is strengths rarely allows a tackle to be broken, has the ability to separate and bypass base blocks. Weaknesses, slow to find a rush counter, lacked hustle and urgency as a playside run defender in 2024.
I think you guys are going to like this final one as well. Wide receiver out of Arkansas, pick 95, Isaac Tesla.
Why do we think we'll like it?
Oh, because last name, Tesla, wide receiver.
Oh.
I mean, come on now.
What's with the capitalization? Why is he
efficient?
Is this a typo, or is that how he really spells his name?
I believe that is how you spell it.
T-E capital S,
yes.
L-A-A.
Yes.
So it's not spelled like
what's
Tesla.
What's with the capital S in the middle?
I don't know.
That's what his parents wanted. His father,
Tesla
Mark.
Tesla with two A's.
Mark wanted it. His father, Mark, played at Hillsdale. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't. I did not know that. I will say, if you know nothing else about this player, and I can assure you I don't, the one thing to like about him, Gold, because I don't think you know anything about him either,
no.
is that he is 6 foot four.
4'4", 4'4", 40.
Oh, you know I like that.
217 pounds.
He's tall. Yep, I like that.
He was not a productive player. Is there a reason why he's still going to the third round? 28 catches for 545 yards and 3 touchdowns. He get hurt?
Played in all 13 games last year. Started 12 in 2023. He started, though, he was Division II player at Hillsdale his first 3 years in college. D2 guy, then went up to Arkansas, so that's part of it.
I think it's more big play capability. His average catch was 20 yards.
Yeah, big slot receiver.
Oh, okay.
Big mismatch problems from the slot.
What's his 40?
Weakness.
4'4", 3.
Yeah, there you go. His weakness,
was doesn't play fast enough to beat tight man coverage underneath.
I don't care about him beating anyone underneath from the sounds of it. I just care about him being MVS, run down the field. This is not what I thought Isaac Tesla was going to look like.
Oh, what did you think he was going to look like, Cody?
His last name, he's got great hair. Tesla, I didn't know what the background of that was at all.
Yeah, there's no way it's pronounced Tesla. It's definitely Tesla, right?
Like Tesla, like Eastern European or something?
I watched a highlight video.
It's Tesla?
Isaac Tesla.
Tesla. Okay. Tesla.
As long as Dave Pash was pronouncing it correctly, then his last name is pronounced Tesla.
This guy's a third round pick? How bad is this wide receiver class?
Thank you, text line. He's an electric player.
That's what I was going for. Thank you. Yes. Why? Wide receiver?
Electric.
Yeah.
I hope, by the way, I hope whenever he gets drafted, whether it's Mel Kiper or Matt Miller, please just right away when they say, what are your thoughts on Isaac? Well, he's an electric player. Please just do that and keep a straight face on the broadcast on that Thursday night.
Seems
please.
Like something more that...
Hey, Bink, when I'm on with you guys, just so you know, when you ask me to come on, that'll be only first round. Saturday, you can have me call in, and I will talk about Isaac Tesla if he gets drafted.
Let me ask, I'm like going through his game logs. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with him versus any of the other names you mentioned. I think he might stink, man.
Who?
Tesla.
Well, he's a fourth round pick. I mean, come on. There's only
third round.
He might as well be a fourth rounder because he's picked 995.
No production is the issue.
He had more games with zero catches than he had over 100 yards.
But he also had an athleticism score out of all the wide receivers of the combine first. So he's just an athlete.
They're just thinking they can like a
big slot athlete.
Who was that? Not Ryan Tannehill. Who was the other, the like Texas A&M quarterback who played wide receiver in the league for a little bit?
Kellerman?
Ran like a 4.340. This is like in the early 2000s.
Not recent.
He got run out of the league. I think it maybe was an A&M.
Former quarterback?
Big white kid. Yeah.
God, I'm... picturing.
Come on, someone text like help me out.
I know who you're. I never gotta remember it.
Doesn't matter. I don't know if it was A&M either. I might be getting that mixed up with like Tannehill or whatever, but like I was just trying to remember the name. I don't know. He got like busted for like drug possession and stuff. He got run out of the league really fast, I thought. But maybe I'm thinking Mallet now. The
someone
quarterback
says that Isaac Tesla is a must-have.
Oh my gosh!
Keep going.
Okay,
let's keep going. People are going for
in terms of the wide receiver rankings, ESPN's wide receiver rankings. He is the 25th ranked wide receiver in this draft class, so well behind any of the guys. He's not third round. Seems a bit high. For him, essentially, is what it at least seems
well,
like.
Well, that's a new name. I respect the new name from the mock draft.
Some other guys
around
him are in there.
Matt Jones. Okay. Receiver from Arkansas. Okay. Not A&M. I was thinking the other crimson and colored
another
team.
Another Arkansas wide receiver.
That's what
you're
talking about? Mm. No, the crimson colored. Another Arkansas wide receiver. Unbelievable. Matt Jones, he went 21st overall wide receiver to the Jacksonville Jaguars because he was an absolute freak athlete. He was like 6'5 or whatever. He was like a huge guy. That was the one I was thinking of. God, I was like, I was thinking of the color of the jersey, and I was like, hey, it must be them.
The freak athlete thing at wide receiver has got to be tough because, I mean, they might be the greatest athlete in the world, but if you can't catch, you can't catch.
Or run a route.
That as well.
The question, the text line's right. The question really with Isaac Tesla is, can he doge a few defenders or not? That's the real question. We don't know.
We'll find out, you know?
We'll find out together.
Chiefs take him in the third
round.
That's
right. Yeah, we can have some fun with that. Up next, though, let's get to what's trending and then get right back into the first series one of the year for the Royals. And the one thing that really is a positive moving forward the rest of this week and hopefully the rest of the season.